shall we look at the resurrection side of the cross. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Matthew 16, verse 21. The emphasis of the New Testament is upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since by his death he dealt with our sins and wrought out redemption for us, he took them quite away. But the Christ who died and descended into the grave rose again. And the Christ who rose again was the Christ who died. Life seemed to be extinct. The grave made fast its bars. But every foe was foiled. Death and hell yielded. The tomb opened its portal. The mighty conqueror strode forth alive. He was the first fruit from among the dead. Now you will see, first of all, that the resurrection demonstrates his deity. He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Romans 1 and verse 4. When our Lord warned his disciples that he must die, they did not understand it. Was he really the Son of God? When at last he was arrested, tried, condemned, and crucified, the disciples must have wondered. Instead of reigning over a kingdom on earth, as they supposed he would, he had suffered the shame and ignominy of crucifixion. How could he be the Son of God and allow men to kill him? Might it be that he was not the Messiah, the Redeemer? So they might have queried. But then he arose, he lives, he comes forth again unto God. And in his resurrection, he was powerfully declared to be the Son of God. The resurrection proved it beyond a shadow of doubt. Our Lord did not begin to be the Son of God when he was made the seed of David, but he, the Son of God, who existed as such from everlasting, was manifested in the flesh, in our human nature, and his divine sonship and proper deity, all declared and made evident by his rising from the dead. The resurrection made it clearly appear that he was indeed the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. There could be no stronger or clearer proof than the resurrection. A very important event in the Old Testament was the throwing up of Jonah by the big fish which had swallowed him. This was a pointer to our Lord's resurrection, a type of it. It was the resurrection which convinced Mary in the garden. The resurrection which restored Peter's confidence after his threefold denial. The resurrection which made doubting Thomas cry, "My Lord and my God." The resurrection which revived the hopes of the two despondent disciples who were going on their way to Emmaus. It was the resurrection which brought new hope to the disciples who had gone back fishing and had caught nothing. And it was the resurrection which convinced all of Tarsus on the Damascus Road. So then, The resurrection demonstrates his deity. And in the second place, the resurrection confirms the efficacy of his death. We believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans chapter 4, verses 24 to 25. When our Lord died, anxious hearts may have inquired, he came, he died to save, but may he not have failed? The Lord himself had foretold not only his death, but the purpose of it. And the purpose of that death was to give his life a ransom for many, that his blood was to be shed for the remission of sin. But how do we know that for sure? May he not have failed? Oh no. The resurrection proved that the purpose for which he died was accomplished. All claims were satisfied. All enemies were subdued. All the worst that hell could do against him was now a broken reed. The resurrection was God's proof and evidence that our Lord had not died in vain. Because that purpose had been accomplished and full satisfaction for sins had been made, God raised him from the dead for our justification. The Apostle Paul, in the first epistle to Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 17, 18, and 20, says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So believers are no longer in their sins, but are justified from all things. Those who have died in the Lord are not perished, but are safe home with the Lord. Thirdly, we see that the resurrection completes the redemptive work of the cross. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. The resurrection of our body is part of redemption's fruit. Death, like the devil, is a conquered foe. It will come and extend its hand to take down our crumbling clay abode. It will consign the bodies of believers to a narrow cell, and worms will do their work. This body is sin's soil and cannot be taken into God's heaven. The death's seeming triumph over the body is a real defeat. It wounds only to heal. It means that the body will rise in fresher beauty. Oh, how changed that body will be. It shall shine brighter than the noonday sun. It will be no longer fleshly, but spiritual. We can hardly conceive the glory of that resurrection body. It will be indeed glorious. How changed that body will be. It will be in fresher beauty. It shall shine brighter than the noonday sun. It will be no longer fleshly, but a spiritual body. We can hardly conceive the glory of that resurrection body, but it is true, and it is near. The trumpet will soon sound to call the bodies of believers to arise. The Lord of life is at the door. This is part of the blessed gospel, that we glory in resurrection hope. Then will the Lord display before the Father the many members who compose his spiritual body. He pleads that they may be gathered from the world. He offers them as consecrated for the Father's use. What a sight that will be, to see the Savior's nail-marked hand present our fully redeemed person, spirit, soul, and body, to God the Father. Or, hear the words of Mr. Alleban. I know that my Redeemer liveth, once slain at Calvary. I know my sins, my God forgiveth. Christ bore their curse for me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, a quickening spirit he. I know eternal life he giveth, amazing grace to me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, beloved ineffably. I know in him my God receiveth, in sweetest favor, me. I know thou, my Redeemer, livest. I know these eyes shall see thy form, thy face of love, who gavest thyself to purchase me. Beautiful words. Amen. And amen.